Welcome, everyone, to Family Talk. It's a ministry of the James Dobson Family Institute, supported by listeners just like you. I'm Dr. James Dobson, and I'm thrilled that you've joined us.
Well, greetings, and welcome to Family Talk, the listener-supported broadcast division of the Dr. James Dobson Family Institute. On today's program, we're featuring the first half of a very special classic interview featuring Dr. Dobson and his good friend, Dr. Del Tackett. For the next 2 days, they'll be discussing Dr. Tackett's 2017 film called Is Genesis History? Before we go right into that program, though, let me tell you about today's guest. Dr. Del Tackett is the creator of the worldview curriculum called The Truth Project. He previously served more than 20 years as an officer in the United States Air Force. He holds 3 earned degrees, his doctorate in management from Colorado Technical University, a Master of Science from Auburn University, and his Bachelor of Science from Kansas State University. Dr. Del Tackett is also the creator of The Engagement Project, which is his most recent worldview curriculum for small groups. Del and his wife, Melissa, have 4 grown children, and they make their home in Colorado. Well, with that said, here now is Dr. James Dobson with his guest on today's classic edition of Family Talk.
Today, I am deeply honored. I have in the studio with me today a great friend and colleague. And I know many of you, probably the majority of you, already know him as the writer and teacher of the Truth Project, Dr. Del Tackett. That powerful worldview program has been seen now by an estimated 15 million people worldwide. And it's been translated into dozens of different languages. And the Lord has simply reached out and blessed Dr. Tackett with this message. Now, we were working together at that time. We were both on the staff, focused on the family. I was the president, and for a period of time, Dr. Tackett was one of my executive vice presidents, and we had a great time together during that time.
We had a ball, Dr. Dobson.
A lot of laughter.
We had a lot of laughs.
There were 3 EVPs, and
yes.
So we would get together every week and talk about whatever was on our minds and whatever was going right and what was going wrong. Del, talk about the Truth Project. We have discussed that certainly when it first came out, but
yes.
Since then as well. But did you ever expect the reception to that project to be as great as it has been?
You know, Dr. Dobson, I don't think it would have been possible for any of us to have even dreamed that God was going to put his hand so deeply on that project and send it all the way around the world. And it's not just the numbers. It's what I hear from people in the airports and even pilots in aircraft. Talk to them, and we talk about what God has done in their life. What an amazing thing. And it's not because of me. I'm just the tour guide.
Listen, I feel the same way. People will often come up and compliment me for some contribution I've made to the family. And I always point upward and say, it all belongs to him. And that's not rhetoric. That's what I believe.
I know you believe that. And I think that has rubbed off on me as well, because I think we both realize there's no way that we're going to snatch his glory away from him, because it's because of him.
You have done so many other things of note. Before getting into what you're doing now, you were actually on George Bush's staff in the White House, weren't you?
That's correct.
You were actually in the Air Force.
I was in the Air Force for 20 years.
And describe what your assignment was, because I've always been impressed by that.
Well, I was appointed by President Bush, Bush 1, Bush Sr., to the National Security Council. My formal title, I was a Director of Technical Planning for the NSC. And it was a privilege to work for him. He was a real gentleman.
You know, that's the word that I would use to describe him. I love that man. I didn't always agree with his policies. I don't always agree with Shirley's policies. So how could I always agree with the president? But we kind of developed a friendship very quickly. He was that way with everybody. My mother died in June of that year, and he wrote me a handwritten note of consolation with regard to the loss of my mother. I tell you something else that happened. I had a heart attack in 1990, and I went to a local hospital, and the hospital and our staff were worried that people were going to come up to see me and keep me from resting and all that. So I was under an assumed name, and the nursing staff didn't know what my name was. And Herbert Walker Bush called me at the hospital one time, and from that point on, they knew who I was because he called from his limousine.
Let the cat out of the bag.
Yeah.
Well, he was a great gentleman, and Barbara, to me, she was a consummate grandmother. I mean, they were a wonderful couple.
I have to tell you another story. I was in the Oval Office. Shirley and I both were at one point, and Millie, the dog, was in that office. She often was. And Millie was over in the corner, and she didn't move. She didn't get up when we walked in, or she didn't relate to the president, of all things. And I said, "What's wrong with her?" And President Bush said, "The grandkids are here, and she's pouting." She pouted all the time the grandchildren were in the White House.
So. Oh, that's funny. I don't know if you remember this, Dr. Dobson, but that's where I first met you. I was at the White House, and it was during the National Day of Prayer that you and I first met. And there was an event in the White House, and that's where we met.
Yeah. Well, you're now just finishing another project that I am fascinated by. It's called Is Genesis History?
That's correct. It's a full featured film. It runs about an hour and 40 minutes, and it is packed. It is full of information. Basically, I am going around the country meeting with scientists, and we're meeting them in the field, looking at scientific evidence, basically to support the fact that the history that's given to us in Genesis is, in fact, history.
Well, we had lunch together a while back, and you are flying all over the world. I mean, it is incredible what's taking place with you. You are a celebrity, and I don't mean that in an insulting way, but you're speaking and you're promoting the things that God has given you to say to the Christian world.
Well, that's the Lord, you know, and this is a season of life. I am on the road a lot, but the opportunity to meet God's people and to have the chance to be able to speak into their life. And I mentioned to you last time we were together that I just came back from Brazil, where we launched the Portuguese translation of the Truth Project. And what a blessing it was to go around that country and meet believers that— you know, I would have never gotten the chance to meet, but it's a delight, actually.
Tell those who don't know what the Truth Project is, because it's still out there
it
and
is.
It's still being seen all around the world. Explain
it
for
is.
Those who
yes.
haven't seen it.
Well, the Truth Project is a DVD series that will take people through a biblical worldview. The purpose is to help build that comprehensive, systematic biblical worldview in the body of Christ, and to help people get healthy as a result of seeing that God has spoken in every area of life. And so it's meant to be done in a small group where people have the opportunity to watch the DVD and then to discuss, to ask questions, to talk about it. But most importantly, because it's being done under the deep prayer of the host of that small group. That's when God works.
I remember the very first episode of the Truth Project. You talk about Jesus being grilled shortly before he was crucified, and he told people why he came.
Yes, yes.
He told us in one sentence what his purpose was. Answered the question, why did Jesus come?
That was the great question that was asked before Pilate. And as you recall, Paul refers back to that moment. And he said this was when Jesus made the good confession. And I love that because the scripture, I think the scripture is the greatest book of the understatement. You know, so when God creates, he says it is good. And Paul refers to Jesus before Pilate when he made the good confession. Well, that means the great, the grand, the awesome confession. And it was at that moment that Jesus said, and the only place that he said why he was born, he said, "For this reason I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth." And that is what drove the whole Truth Project. From that point on, it was all about trying to understand the truth of God. In a culture, in a nation, unfortunately, that has walked away from the truth of God, that has turned its back on the absolute truth of God.
You know, when I'm talking to Christians who don't really understand Orthodox theology very well, and sometimes I think I don't, I often ask them a simple question. Stephen was stoned to death because of his faith. Mm-hmm. He was the first martyr.
Yes.
And died a horrible death. Mm. But when he died and he went to heaven, Jesus stood when he arrived on the other side. Well, I asked them, what's the difference between Stephen's death as a martyr and Jesus' death on the cross?
Yeah. Well, of course, the big difference is that Jesus was God. He is the Son of God, but he is God. And so this was God himself providing the sacrifice, the propitiation for the sins that we rightly should be separated from God for eternity. But Jesus paid that penalty. But when Jesus came and when he lived, when he walked on the face of the earth, everything that he did, even the miracles that he performed, were performed so that people would believe that he was who he says he was, that he was truly the Son of God. And of course, that in the final crescendo, I guess you could say, of God's affirmation that Jesus was not just some other guy. He wasn't just a good prophet. He wasn't just a good teacher. But the affirmation that Jesus was who he said he was in that glorious moment when he was raised from the dead.
Yeah,
there's a world of difference between Jesus and Stephen, and yet Stephen is in heaven because of what Jesus did.
Stephen's death does not relate to my sin at all. There's not a thing he could do about my sin.
None.
But Jesus eradicates it and brings salvation and justification before an almighty God.
Amen. And that could only have been carried out by God himself.
Yeah.
As much as I respect you, Dr. Dobson, you could in no way, just as you said, Stephen in no way could satisfy God's wrath for you. You could not satisfy the wrath for me. I could not for you. We cannot do that. That is the plight of sinful man. We are so separated from God that it required the eternal sacrifice of Christ in order for us to be reconciled
and
to him.
And that's why the last words he spoke on the cross is, it is finished. It's done.
Yes.
The prescription, the remedy has been provided for sinful man.
Yes.
And all we have to do is reach out and take it.
That's right. That word that he spoke, tetelestai, is a word that means paid in full. It was a word that was used when someone was in prison and they were paying off their debt. That when they had finally paid off their debt, they were given a piece of paper, tetelestai. That means it was paid in full. And that's what when he finished that work, he said, "It is paid, paid in full." And you and I can't add anything
to
it. Amen. Amen to that.
Well, let's get to your new project, Is Genesis History?
Yes.
Question mark.
We are on a quest in the film to look for the scientific evidence that would support one reading the Genesis narrative, especially Genesis 1 through 11, as historical narrative, not as myth, not as poetry, not as some kind of simile, or not as
metaphor.
Metaphor, not any other kind of literary genre except historical narrative. And that's what the quest is about, to see, is there scientific evidence that supports that?
The essence of it is that many conservative Christians, many who are Orthodox or think they are, do not believe that Genesis is history. They have other explanations for it. They can't believe the flood really happened. They can't believe that Adam and Eve were created by the Creator and that they were not evolved animals. It's just too dramatic and too unbelievable to accept as truth. But it's also part of the truth that you've talked about.
It is. And that is what is really driving me. That's why I decided I was going to jump into this and do this film, because I had a sense that there was a growing disparity among God's people as they were listening more and more to the current scientific paradigm, and that was eroding their faith in the record that God has given to us, that historical record that He had given to us. And so I wanted to do what I could to help people see that there is scientific evidence that supports that. And you know what, Dr. Dobson, is really not a lot different than what we've done before in other areas of the Scripture where the history that God has given to us has been assailed.
Yeah.
You know as well as I do that there were, for years and years, we were made fun of because we believed that the Jews were captive in Egypt, or that they migrated, or that there was a King David. And yet, archaeological studies have now vindicated that and shown that the Bible gets its history correct. And that's essentially what we're doing here as well, except now we're pointing to the history that's given to us in those first chapters in Genesis.
And yet our understanding of the Scriptures and even of Jesus' birth and death and resurrection, all of that depends on a traditional understanding of the history laid out in Genesis. If you don't believe in that, you don't believe in Abraham, Isaac, or Jacob. You don't believe in Noah or the flood. You don't believe in the other stories that are included that all point to the Christ.
Yes.
It all unravels if you don't have a clear understanding of Genesis.
It really does. And I'm working on a follow-on DVD series to the teaching that we did in the Truth Project. And in that series, I was struck myself by how often I am telling people, we have to go back to the garden to understand this. In reality, a biblical worldview is rooted and founded in those first chapters of Genesis. Because one thing that's happening is that when we begin to deny the historicity of Genesis, we begin to then think that there was no Adam and Eve. And if there is no Adam and Eve, then there is no original sin. If there is no original sin, there is no judgment on the world. We do not live in a fallen world. And that then, to me, also wipes out one of the greatest things that was ever recorded in that historical narrative. And I put it this way. You think about Adam and Eve now standing before God. They have rebelled. They have sinned. And the consequence that God said would happen, happened. The world is now tipped in the other direction. It's no longer tipped towards life and fruitfulness. Now everything is tipped towards death and decay and destruction and fruitlessness. And Adam and Eve are standing before God in the midst of that destruction. And God should have, if he'd been me, I would have probably have wiped it all out. You know, just like an artist, if somebody spills coffee on your sketch, you just, you know, you wad it up and throw it in the can. But instead of God breathing in a breath and letting out a roar that evaporated everything and started from fresh, he took in a breath and he breathed out the promise of the gospel. And he breathed out the promise. He said, there will come the seed, meaning the Messiah, that would eventually put everything right again. And all that is embedded in the middle of this historical narrative in Genesis.
Let me share with our listeners the scripture in Romans 5:12. Mm-hmm. This is absolutely pivotal. Therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man, Adam, and death through sin, and in this way, death came to all people because all sinned. Then we jump down to verse 15. But the gift is not like the trespass. For if the many died by the trespass of one man, how much more did God's grace and the gift that came by the grace of one man, Jesus Christ, overflow to the many? Mm. So one man brought sin into the world. Another one brought salvation to mankind. And if you don't take Genesis literally, what's the connection there?
Exactly. It all falls apart. That's what happens to our theology. That's what happens to then our view of all of the scripture. If we begin to twist it into what we want it to be, Paul is hanging everything on
that relationship.
Everything right there, because that's the good news, is it not? We were all lost. It came through one man. We all fell. We were all lost. But it's through that one man, Christ, that we're now reconciled to God.
Boy, if you won't shout over that, you won't shout over anything.
Amen to that.
That is marvelous.
Amen to that, yeah. And that's why the history that God has given to us in those first chapters in Genesis, 1 through 11 in particular, is so critical to a biblical worldview. Our understanding of salvation
why
is rooted
then
there.
Is a large percentage of the Christian community questioning the historicity of Genesis?
Well, I think they do it through ignorance, quite frankly, Dr. Dobson. I don't know that a lot of it is done out of a specific desire to do that, but most of Christianity is living under the reign of a scientific paradigm that pounds them. It pounds them in the classroom. It pounds them in their textbooks. It's in the media. It's in the signage in the museum. Everywhere, that causes them to think that they have to somehow read the scriptures differently. But I don't think many people recognize the connection that you just made when you read that Romans passage. And that's one of the things we want to do in the film, is to help people see just how critical the history that God has given to us is to our faith. And
you really can't take it or leave it.
No, you can't.
If you're going to understand both the Old Testament and the New, they all depend on the beginning point. And in fact, it starts with in the beginning. We're out of time, Dr. Tackett, but I really want to have you here again tomorrow to talk about the flood. Mm. And it's really the flood that makes people wonder if there isn't something kind of strange about this, right?
I think so. Yes. I'll be here. I'll be back.
All right. We will pick up right here next time.
Great. Thank you.
Well, you probably know the story of Noah and the ark. As we read in Genesis chapter 8, verses 3 and 4, the water receded steadily from the earth. At the end of the 150 days, the water had gone down, and on the 17th day of the 7th month, the ark came to rest on the mountains at Ararat. Well, we know then that the ark did come to rest, in fact, in a real place, and scientists are continuing to prove what we already know is correct from the Bible even today. Amen. Now, if you are eager to hear more from Dr. James Dobson and this classic conversation with Dr. Del Tackett, be sure to join us again tomorrow for part two of this fascinating conversation. You know, prayer is so vitally important in our relationship with the Lord, especially when we as Christians pray together for the world and for our nation. Here at the Dr. James Dobson Family Institute, we've created an exciting new PDF focusing on how you can be in prayer for our nation in the days leading up to the National Day of Prayer. By the way, the 73rd Annual National Day of Prayer is taking place this Thursday, May the 2nd. We'll have special programs on Wednesday the 1st and Thursday the 2nd of May to prepare your heart for praying for our nation. And then, of course, we have a special live broadcast coming up from our nation's capital this Thursday, May the 2nd at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, and we'll have that link on our Facebook page. To get your free National Day of Prayer PDF download, simply go to drjamesdobson.org. That's drjamesdobson.org, and you can download that for free. Speaking of more free resources, if you're looking for quick bits of wisdom to listen to when you only have a minute, well then, we've got a brand new resource for you, and we call it the Dr. Dobson Minute. The Dr. James Dobson Family Institute is remastering Dr. Dobson's practical, biblically-based transforming truths into 60-second audio messages. That's why we call them the Dr. Dobson Minute. You can learn more when you go to drdobsonminute.org. You can tune in right there at drdobsonminute.org. I'm Roger Marsh. Thanks so much for joining us today. May God continue to richly bless you and your family as you grow stronger and deeper in your relationship with Him. And be sure to join us again tomorrow for part two of Dr. Dobson's conversation with Dr. Del Tackett, right here on Family Talk.
This has been a presentation of the Dr. James Dobson Family Institute.